She keeps her hair covered. This is my daughter who doesn't like to get her hair done. So I never have to tell her to go put on her scarf or anything. She will protect her hair as long as she can.
Callie puts her bonnet underneath her pillow. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Melanin Mom Happy Hour Podcast. On this episode, we'll be talking everything natural hair care. We know some people love perm still, but on this episode, we'll be just talking about natural hair care. And I have the honor of interviewing one of my friends. She is a mom of four. She's also a military wife. That's where I met her, in the great state of Washington. I think we're destined to be friends because we met through our children. She has four children, like I mentioned. She's also a registered nurse. We met in Washington. She's from Maryland. As you know, I'm also from Maryland. And this is the kicker. Her husband is also a Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't know. I didn't know there was that many Dallas Cowboys fans. So slim pickings. And when you find one, you just have to be friends. So we were destined to be friends. I think I'm her favorite out of everyone. I'll just go ahead and say that. It might be a lie, but today I'll be her favorite. This is my friend, Siobhan Mullen.
Hi, everyone.
So the reason why I have Siobhan on here is because, like I said, she's a mom of four. She three of those four are girls. So wash day is a full-time job. there's been plenty of times that we've asked her, hey, we're going out, and she'll be like, no, today is wash day. So I only have one daughter, but now that I know how long it takes to do her hair, I understand why Siobhan blocks out a whole day just for the three girls' hair. And Siobhan is also natural, so that's why I wanted to bring her on this podcast, so she can give us some tips, some tricks for people that want to maybe do the big chop or transition to be natural, and just some things that she's done for her hair and what she's also done with her daughter's hair. So let's get started. So how long have you been natural?
I've been natural for almost 7 years now. Oh, yep.
A long time. So what is your hair type?
I think my hair type is like 3C, 4A. That's just me because I haven't been in a salon since I actually cut all my hair off. So
So I don't know what my hair type is. I'm also natural. I've been natural for... I started going natural when Colton was born, so about 8 years. So I'm going to go into depth about that in a second, but I am not the best with my hair because I do put heat on it, and I know you said, you're straightening your hair again. So every time I straighten it, I just hear your little voice in the back of my head like, oh, God, let me stop before I damage it. And I still have some damaged pieces, and I have no problem cutting my hair because, as you see, I'll have no problem throwing on a wig or doing some type of protective style. And this heat in the South is so disrespectful, so there will be no heat being put on this hair this summer. So what made you start your natural journey, and what also made you stay on this natural journey?
When I cut my hair, I wanted to cut my hair years before I actually did it. And what made me wait is that I was seeking everybody else's opinion. Like, I was like, what do you think I look like with my hair cut off? Or what do you think this, or how do you think about this? And everybody was like, no, don't do that. It's going to be ugly or whatever. And I hate to say this, but I care about what people think, especially my family and myself, my friends, whatever. So I postponed it. And then I went through, my husband, we're military. So I feel like, I feel like after every pregnancy, I would have a child and my husband would be gone. So when I had my twins, he left for deployment, and right after I had my third child, which is Carmen, he left again, and I was really struggling with that, so I just decided to do something for myself. It was my journey, and I cut my hair.
Hi. You lasted longer than I did. So to just piggyback off what you said about the how you listen to friends and family, I think the stigma with Black women that we, for such a long time, we just thought that straight hair is like perfect.
The way to go.
Professional, yeah, the way to go, easier to handle. And basically we didn't have like a perm. You just slap that in, let it sit, wash it out. We didn't really have like a guide on how to be natural. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone is learning from like the internet. So if you go to a salon, from a salon, how to like kind of take care of your hair. So with Callie, I'm trying to start her on like the best foot to kind of love her curls, not want to like, not for her to think that straight hair is like perfect. So that's what I'm kind of like trying to do now. And because when I got my first perm, I was like first grade, and all I knew was like straight hair, blown out, that type of deal. So even though she has like a lot of curls and her hair is natural, I'm also natural, but I rather protect her hair at this age, so that she, when she gets older and she can start doing her hair on her own and like know what products to choose and not be like, well, my mom didn't teach me this, so I'm gonna just go ahead and get a perm because this is easier to do. So yeah. I understand what you're saying. So have you ever had a perm?
My mom actually, same. She started perming my hair around first, second grade. And when I ask her about it, she says that she was pressured. I have three girls and one boy. My mom had three boys and one girl. So I was her only daughter. And she said that she didn't really know what to do with my hair, and that her mom and my father's mom was saying, perm that baby hair, basically. She did that. But I didn't get perms. Like, as I got older, I realized that some girls got perms every 6 weeks, 6 to 8 mm-hmm. weeks. I got perms like twice a year. And my mom made me rock that. So I was transitioning. I was growing that thing out. I used to hate like 4, 5, and 6. I was looking rough in elementary school, but she was like, no, we're not doing this. And then as I got older and I could do it myself, I probably did it every 3 months. And that's when I started having like a lot of breakage. I just got tired of my hair. And that's when I started thinking about doing natural hair. But yeah, I waited because of the reason I said earlier. But yeah, every 6 months I was rough.
Yeah. So the only reason I know like how old I was, because my perm was the Just For Me, and in the Just For Me box, you would always get a cassette tape, and I probably like had like a wall of the cassette tapes that came in the Just For Me box. So I know I was young, and I kind of remember the song. I don't fully remember the song.
Just for me.
There it is. And they still have that perm around, but they also have products that cater to like natural hair, which is also good. So kind of like I use the perm, so now I use some of the products for Callie, but I always ask you first before I use products. Unless you say something is $20, and I'm like, let's find the let's buy the cheap brand and we'll go from there. So how many times have you done the big chop?
So the first time my big chop was in 2014, and I don't know if it's considered a second big chop, but I was nervous about big chopping, and I cut most of my hair off to where it's like my son's fade, maybe a little bit longer basically, but I had recently gotten a perm, and I really didn't want that perm, but as I was listening to other people, so I didn't have a lot of new growth, and I was like, well, leave a little bit on there because I don't know how I'm gonna look with it just all gone. And then I remember like 2 weeks later, I was like, I'm tired of trying to get certain parts to curl, and it just wasn't working, so I went back and said, just cut it all off. And it was just like probably a half an inch more, but it really mattered when you was trying to get the curl pattern right.
Yeah.
Then when I moved down here, so probably it wasn't really a big chop, but when I moved to North Carolina, I felt my hair changing. I'm not sure if it was the environment or just all the stress or whatever, but I cut probably half my hair off when I got down here. So I didn't really big chop it, but cut a lot of dead ends off and try to give myself like a reset. I'm thinking about doing that again. So we'll see if there's a number 4 coming.
Oh, goodness. So I know when, like what we said, we're talking about the big chop. I know a lot of people are afraid to do the big chop because they're so used to having length with their hair. So they feel like they're going to look different or going to be bald if they do a big chop. So a lot of people transition. So what do you think? If someone wants to go natural, do you think it's better to just start like fresh? Or like transition and like go to the salon every once in a while, have them cut like the split ends until like they get to like the natural pattern.
I don't want to tell anyone what to do. I just would say do whatever works better for you. For me, I'm not dedicated enough to have two. I know that some of my hair is rough. Some of my hair is very manageable or whatever, depending on what part of my head you in. So I can only imagine, even when I cut my hair and I had the straight hair and the curly hair, that was hard. So having two different types of hair, like where you could really see it, I feel like all my hair, all the permed hair would eventually just break off, would just snap and break off if I did it like that. I'm not that dedicated to be doing that. So to each their own. I'd rather just get a fresh start, cut it all off and grow it back. And that's what I did.
Because what I've seen, which I still consider, if you straighten your hair, you're still considered natural. It's when you put the chemicals in your hair that I kind of don't consider you natural. But what people that transition, a lot of times what I see is they'll get their hair, when they're transitioning, they'll cut a little bit, but then they'll get it blown out and then like bone straight. So once again, you're kind of like damaging it. So it's really not going to be able to be able to like grow out like you want it to. So when I got my big chop, I literally went to my friend who was normally doing my hair and I just said, cut it all off. And that's what she did. So what I did when she cut it all off, and it's funny because Colin, he was actually there and he thought I was just like getting a trim. But she saw how damaged my hair was, and he was just like, oh, okay. So as soon as she cut it off, I had made an appointment to get braids to kind of, like, protect my hair and, like, let it grow and, like, not mess with it. So I think that's one good thing is to, like, try to keep it in protective style but not have as much tension on your hair because I did have a lot of postpartum shedding after I had Junior. But what I normally do is, like when I become pregnant is I'll cut like my ends off, like the dead ends and kind of like do like a mini big chop. And cause I'm like, I know my hair is going to grow cause I'm pregnant. So I'm taking these vitamins, like this baby's growing inside of me. I'm drinking water. Like my hair is about to flourish, but then here comes postpartum shedding. And that kind of like kills your hair. Like you're bald and stuff. Some parts, like my edges go, they're finally growing back. So that's also what you have to deal with sometimes with being natural, like shedding, losing hair, and just the craziness when you're being pregnant and being natural.
Even when I had a relaxer, I used to shed a lot. So my shedding is, and when I would go to, I realized that I'm not knocking no one's trade, but I've never had a good stylist that actually, like when you go on YouTube and people are like, go to this person, she took her time, she did this, she was knowledgeable. I haven't come across anyone like that yet, whether I'm relaxed or natural. People, that's when I was like, oh, girls really getting their hair relaxed every six to eight weeks and stuff like that. My hair would be falling out, broken off or whatever. They would just, they're quick to chop your hair off or relax it. And I feel like even when you go past somebody as a natural, if they're not a part of that natural hair community, then they're ready to just relax your hair too. So, or recommend stuff that you don't really want. They don't really listen. So I don't know. It goes both, but I've had shedding on both sides and I don't know why. So, I mean.
So before I get into your hair care routine, when Callie turned 3, I took her to the salon for the first time because, like I said, I want to be knowledgeable on how to work with her hair. And she was recommended by one of our friends, Danielle and Maureen went to her. And I wanted to, if I ever decided to straighten her hair, so with Callie's hair, I try to straighten it once a year, which is normally around her birthday. And I wanted to use the right products, use the right styling tools so I don't damage her hair whenever I do use heat on it. And she sat there, we were there for like 3 hours and her just telling me what to use for her hair type, what products. Do I think she did a good job? I think she did a good job. I just felt like she didn't get like a good straighten on her hair because like the ends were still a little brittle. But I guess she might need to use like a better serum or heat protectant on her hair a little bit. Yeah. But I learned a lot. But yeah, I tried to straighten Callie's hair this last birthday and I won't be doing that again because one, that takes too long. My blow dryer died because her hair is so thick. And I think it rained that day, so her hair poofed up. So it was, I said, honey, we're not getting, no, we got to find something else to do. So what is your hair routine looking like? So I know you, before I get into that, I know you told me, which I feel like is true for everything, that your hair routine should change with the weather. So like summertime and wintertime, you should use like different products. So since it's almost summer, what is your summer hair routine?
So my hair routine, my products change. So I do a pre-poo, shampoo, a conditioner or a deep conditioner, and then a leave-in. Now, after that is when I change it. Everything that I do, I feel like I just have dry hair. I'm not sure if all natural hair is dry, but after having 3 girls and then me, I think I got a lot of different hair types in my house and we all got dry hair. So that's all, everything I do is moisturizing. So from that point, then it changes. Like whether I use a heavy butter, a heavy cream versus like a hair milk, or depending on what style I'm doing, am I using a gel because I'm doing a wash and go, or am I doing some twists where I don't need a gel? And then I might use oil, I might not, on top of, that's probably the last thing I use. And then if I'm outside, man, we in the South now, so we sweating a lot, different stuff. I have sensitive scalp, sensitive skin. So with me oiling my scalp or anything like that, if it runs into my face, then I'm having a breakout. So that's why I change depending on the weather, because it'll affect different things other than my hair.
Okay. So, like I said before, like I'll ask you, like Sally's always has like a sale. And before I even like add anything to the cart, I'm always like, Siobhan, is this good? Have you tried this? So what is the most expensive product that you bought for either your hair or the girl's hair?
See, that's a misconception. I have 4 kids, so I don't really buy the expensive stuff. Now, do I buy a lot of stuff? Yes. When I went natural, I watched all the YouTube videos. I got everybody's opinion. I had a stock. I know I gave y'all some. So, I mean, I had a whole bunch of stuff. I'm just trying different stuff, but I would say I don't spend any more than $20 to $25. And that $20, $25 is normally a deep conditioner, because that's probably the most expensive thing you buy. It's a deep conditioner or one of them oils or something. So
yeah,
I haven't spent any more than that. I can't. But then when you think about it, I've bought many things. So I probably should have just, experimented with one expensive thing. But I don't do that no more. I've changed.
So when I try out something, I always try to like stay within that hair care line. So like Miel, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Like if they have something, and I think it was a deep conditioner, and I was like, oh, they have a deep conditioner. I was like, well, since I'm already getting a deep conditioner, let me find the shampoo, the conditioner, the detangler, things like that. But sometimes maybe just that one product will work, but like the shampoo won't work.
Yeah.
So basically you have to so now I've come out go on YouTube, type in that product, see how that person likes it. And then if they didn't like the shampoo, I'm like, well, maybe that might not be for me. But I also do my research by looking to see like what that shampoo actually does. So for me, after I had Junior, I had a lot of dandruff. So I had to get like a shampoo just for like dandruff and like itchy scalp or dry scalp. So that line didn't have that shampoo, so sometimes you have to like shop around and have like other things. But what gets me, this is what makes me click off of YouTube videos. If I go on a YouTube video of like my hair care routine and they have 10 products up there, I don't have time.
Ain't nobody got time.
I don't have time for it. it would be like maybe 1 month that I can do like the 10 products, but if it's, I can't do 10. Give me five.
Like I said, I have a sensitive scalp, so I don't even know why, but when I cut all my hair off, it was a lot easier to sit there and experiment as my hair was like, this much, yeah. You know, like an inch, you know, I had my curl pattern, so I can experiment. It was a lot easier, but then I was like wasting a lot of products. I was like, everybody had, I can't even remember the name of it, but it was just that certain shea moisture, that coconut and hibiscus, that did mm-hmm. nothing for me. I can't think of the name, but everybody ran out and got that leave-in. It's certain stuff that just stripped my hair, and it was certain. I was like, why do you have to put this oil on top of this oil, on top of this butter, on top of this milk, on top of this cream? Why are we washing our hair several different ways? I don't know why I tried it, but I did, and I had to really just cleanse myself of YouTube and social media and figure out what worked for me. And I really have mm-hmm. one product from like each line, and I refuse to do that anymore. It got so expensive. It was in my mm-hmm. pockets heavy.
So for this household, how you said that you and your girls, you kind of have like the same hair type. Me and Callie have totally different. I have African nappy hair. She has a really tight curl, and her hair holds so much moisture. Something that works for me will not work for her. So that's where it becomes expensive. So I found out that Dove, they have a conditioner, some moisture conditioner, and I can literally like run my fingers through my hair after I put it in. I only have to leave it in for like 5 to 10 minutes. Now I put it in her hair, my hair hand automatically gets stuck because her hair tangles so much. So that's where like the challenge is for me and her, like something I'd be like, oh, it works for me, it might work for her, and it doesn't happen that way. So the biggest thing with her is tangling. So I'm on the market for a good detangler, something to help it go by faster. Like I feel like I detangled her hair one time, one side, and she went to go talk to her dad. She wasn't even gone for 5 minutes. She came back, it was tangled. I'm like, you know what? You about to get a good ponytail. So so that's where I'm at with between me and Callie's hair. So what is your favorite hair care line? If you could pick it with the deep conditioner, shampoo, and I don't know if you use regular conditioner, if you could pick just one hair care line that has all the products that you would need.
If I had to pick one hair care line, if it was the only one in the store. Then I guess I would, if I had to pick one to give me everything, then I would go with the initial line of the Mayel Organics. Or Camille Rose, but I just really like her moisture, I don't like the shampoo of the Camille Rose, that initial line. I feel like everybody's initial line was pretty solid. But once mm-hmm. they started making all these extra stuff, making yeah. money or whatever, I feel mm-hmm. like just about everyone's second, third, fourth, and Shea Moisture 100th line mm-hmm. of something, trend of something, it's just not worth it. And that's really when I started. Yeah. I'm going to keep my money in my pocket. But Mayel Organics, the initial line, the first line she came out with, that I probably would reach for that if I had to choose one brand for all my products.
Mm-hmm. So with you saying how some companies, like after they make their initial products, I feel like they either get bought out by someone else and they kind of mm-hmm. skim on the ingredients and might add more water or more something else to kind of like thin it out. So how do you feel about products? I know you said you have sensitive skin. How do you feel about products that have like fragrance in it?
I change. It depends on how I'm feeling, but I don't like it to be overwhelming, and mm-hmm. I like it to be in certain products. Like, I don't care what my shampoo smells like as long as you get my hair clean and it's moisturized. Mm-hmm. I don't really care what my conditioner smells like as long as it's moisturizing, you know, it's doing its job. But once mm-hmm. I start getting into the creams that's going to stay in my hair for a week, that oil, that milk, that butter, whatever, then yeah. I do like that to have some kind of a scent, because sometimes I feel like my hair stinks if I'm working out or doing mm-hmm. certain stuff, and I really yeah. don't want to wash my hair that much. If I deal with dry hair, then I'm trying to figure out how to combat that. So, yeah. you know, it just depends.
So since, so I know what your daughters, you do protective styles with her a lot. Would you, have you ever tried like a dry shampoo?
I haven't. Okay. I have not.
So like you said, like you feel like, excuse me, sometimes your hair stinks. When I was going to the gym back in Washington, I had the, when I used to do the crochet hair, it would like hold in like every odor that the gym had. So I would do like a dry shampoo in between like my scalp and the braids and rows. Do I feel like it like cleans my hair or whatever? No, I think it just masks the smell. Mm-hmm. So I don't know like if a dry shampoo, do you think a dry shampoo would be good for natural hair, or do you feel like it's...
I just personally rather wet my hair, and even if I have braids, I rather, my kids just came out of braids, I rather see something lather up, know their scalp is getting clean, because even they complain of itchy hair, itchy scalp sometimes. Even when I first cut my hair, and a lot of people at that time, a lot of people were saying on YouTube, to not use shampoo, you know, only co-wash your hair, use conditioner, don't use any shampoo. Girl, I tried that and I was like, why? Like, my head is sitting here itching. And if I'm going to get in the shower and actually co-wash my hair, why not just reach for the shampoo? So it was a lot of mistakes. I'm not really mistakes. So if it works for you, it works for you. But I had to really think about what I was doing and what I was wasting my money on. Like, why am I buying a co-wash? If my hair is dirty and I feel like I need to wash it, I need to reach for a shampoo. If I know my head, if I'm going to sit here and scratch my head, my scalp enough to probably put a scratch in it or a sore in it, I think that's worse. I think I need to focus on healthy scalp if I want to focus on healthy hair and growing my hair out. And that's when my process got better, when I start creating my own process.
So I was following these twins on YouTube, and their hair is really, really long, and they, a lot of people follow them. So their routine was, they would co-wash 1 week, and then the following week they would do like the shampoo, deep condition, all that type of stuff. I did see a difference in my hair, but I'm just like, I don't, at that time I really didn't like having my hair out that much. So for me to have to wash it every week, I felt like it was a lot. I could see like every 2 weeks, a month, that's kind of stretching it. That means like, well, quarantine times, that's okay, because I wouldn't go anywhere, being anywhere. So that's something, that's to each his own, but yeah, I understand. Like, if I'm in the shower, like, I'm reaching for the shampoo, I'm not reaching for a co-wash. A co-wash is basically, I don't know, hairy up in, like,
and I think because like, I'm under used to sink. A leather, I just wanted to, I feel like I was using the whole container of co-wash to try to get something to work. Like, I need to scrub my scalp some kind of way, and I need to see it working. So yeah, I was using the whole thing of co-wash.
So I know we were talking about hair products. So being as though you have an up and coming YouTube channel, please follow her on Mocha Mill Mom on YouTube, videos to come. Could you ever see yourself maybe, let's not say like, if you could, do you think you would make like a hair care line? Like, if you had like the resources, a manufacturer, people to make it, do you think you would ever do it?
I think I like to be a master at whatever I'm doing. So I think if I did my research and really put my all into it, I could see myself doing that. That would be something up my alley, but I would want to make sure that it actually could work, because I do have, I have three different heads, and you know, even my son had long hair at one point, so I had several heads that I'm doing, and what works on me doesn't work on two of my daughters, you know. So it's really hard, so I would want to make sure I can at least cover a certain amount of hair types. So no one feels left out, because a lot of times I feel left out with some of these hair products.
So if you could make one product that you feel like could reach everyone, or not everyone, maybe like 60% of natural hair, or kind of like even pulling the perm hair. Well, let's just first start off with natural hair. If you can make one product for at least 60% of naturalists, what would that one product be?
I think I would focus on the conditioner.
I knew you were going to say that.
Whether it be a regular conditioner or deep conditioner, I don't know. I feel like that's what takes most of my time during wash day with me, my kids, mm-hmm. and depending on how I'm feeling, I need my conditioner to work every time, because if I'm emotional or I'm stressed or I had a long day, I don't want to wash my hair in the first place. So if mm-hmm. I just am forced to wash my hair, then I might take the comb and go from thinking that maybe it's not as tangled as it is and mm-hmm. just try to comb my hair out and might not have the most grace with my hair. So I know I'm ripping my hair or I'm just ripping at knots or whatever. So mm-hmm. I don't know, but I just feel like I'm always searching for a better deep conditioner. I haven't found mm-hmm. that one yet.
So with deep conditioning, like it's been times like I try to pull your wash day routine where I'll do Callie's hair and then I'll do mine. But I've done so much and put in all my hard work in her hair that I'll just fall asleep in my deep conditioner. Mm-hmm. Kylan doesn't like the smell because I add a whole bunch of oils and mix it together. And he's like, what is in your hair? So I'll just sleep in it. And because my mom, she would be like, oh, honey, she's like, I didn't clean the house. I forgot I had this deep conditioner in my hair. So I just went to sleep. So I've realized sometimes, like, when I do that, like, my hair is really soft and I feel like the product has, like, really, like, seeped into my scalp and into my hair. But then I've had times where my hair is, like, really, really brittle because I've tried something new and it really wasn't for my hair. But, yeah, I think that a deep conditioner, if you were to reach 60% of naturalist, I feel like that would be it because everything else is kind of catered to like your hair, like shampoo. You might have dry hair, oily hair, dry scalp, things like that. So you really can't cater to that many people with shampoo. So we've mentioned your children. So at what age would you like for your daughters to start doing their own hair?
So we recently just started and I feel bad because and what made it happen is watching YouTube and I was like, dang, she got her daughter doing her hair. I mean, how old are my kids? How old are her hands? And I just started thinking about it and I didn't realize I was so controlling over my daughter's hair. I never even mm-hmm. thought about it. And I was like, my oldest are 9-year-old twins. And I was like, I guess they should know how to do something for themselves. I'm washing their hair and I'm struggling because I'm like, man, it's a busy Sunday. It's a busy whatever day I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. They could be helping all along. And I never really even thought about it. And that's so sad. So we just recently started where I'm teaching them how to wash their own hair and mm-hmm. walking them through a wash day and trying to show them how to be gentle with their hair and detangle their mm-hmm. hair. And I'm just leaving it there for now. I'm not ready for them to actually style their own hair or anything like that because I don't have time for them to be wasting product, to be honest. But to teach them, then yes. But I feel like a good starting point is teaching them how to wash their hair. And it's fun for them. They ask to do it every weekend now. Can I do my own hair? Can we get in the shower and I do it myself, mommy? So mm-hmm. I just found that funny that I didn't realize I was so controlling over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that because you want it, basically, you know how it needs to be done, but basically you kind of like have to pass the reins off to them because at some point they're gonna have to do it themselves. You don't want them right. to be 16 and be like, I gotta go home, my mom.
So I didn't realize there was so many people that didn't know how to do their hair, even in the Black community, going away yeah. to college and stuff. Like, I didn't experience that. And I don't feel like my mom even gave me the rein. I don't remember a solid point where she said, you do your own hair now. I just felt like I was practicing on my own. But when I had daughters, mm-hmm. I really didn't know how to corn roll or braid, but I just kept practicing and got it. But there's a lot of people our age that don't know how to do their hair or don't understand how to do it and just, you know, get those protective styles. But I did it out of a need because I don't have the money to go to, you know, yeah. for. It was like the one time I did it, my mom came to visit and I swear I spent $40 or $50 just for a trim or a cut. And I was like, I'm gonna trim y'all hair at home. And I was mm-hmm. itching them. And she was like, you want to get yours done? I was like, no, ma'am, I'm just going to pay for them and we're going to leave. And that's when I was like, I got to start learning how to do this stuff. Cause if they mm-hmm. want braids and styles and different stuff, I want to learn how to do it. And even arching eyebrows and anything. I try to learn how yeah. to do all the stuff that I feel like I would want it, you know, in middle school, high yeah. school. So maybe I can save some money. That's where it all came from.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from because my mom, I would, like, I'm like, if somebody's doing my hair, I'm always turning to see, like, what they're doing. So I kind of, like, I'm looking at what they're doing and what they're using. So I feel like, I understand what you're saying because with Callie, her being my only girl, I did not know how to braid. So my friend, she used to braid Callie's hair. Then one day I text her. I'm like, can you braid Callie's hair? She's like, oh, I can't. I had to do my hair, and she had to do her daughter's hair. So me and Callie just sitting on the floor crying because I'm trying to learn how to braid, and I'm pulling her hair too tight. And it went on from there. And Colin was, he was encouraging me. He's like, it looks nice. It looks good. You did good. I'm like, do you see this part going this way and that way? I'm like, you trying to hype me up. But I was like, and then I was braiding her hair like every week. And then I think that's what helped. Well, I know that's what helped her hair grow, because I was keeping in protective style, washing it, conditioning it. But that's how I learned how to braid. But I'm like, I'm sorry, like, I can't do your hair, my hair, and someone else's hair. So I'm glad that Junior was a boy. But if he has long hair, I have no problem braiding it. But, honey, you about to be in the barber shop just like your dad, because I can't be doing all these heads. So I know you mentioned trimming hair. So how often do you call it dusting? I think that's what you told me. Yeah. So how often do you dust your hair, your daughter's hair?
The way I try to remember it is I do it when the seasons change. So I would say 4 times a year, or when I just mm-hmm. feel like I feel like different hair types need it a little bit more often. So when I feel like my comb just isn't gliding through the hair, or it just feels different, you can feel a difference at the ends compared mm-hmm. to the rest of the hair, then I might as I braid to the end or twist to the end, I might just clip the ends right then and there. It just depends on how I was feeling, but I truly do it like when the seasons change, so about 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm. So I've added that routine into Callie's hair, and Colin, he'll see like how much I'm cutting off. I said, so every time I wash your hair, I always take a picture of it, like after I take the towel down. And he's like, you cut a lot of her hair off. I'm like, no, I didn't. And then the next time I washed it, you'll see, like, how much it grew, or how different it looks, and how it looks, like, healthy, basically, because those ends are gone. So I've definitely included that into her routine, and mine, I just cut. Like, I really don't care. So I'll just... Like, I don't care if it's uneven.
Yeah, mine might be once a year, here and there, whenever I can get around to it. It's sad, but that's what it is right now.
So what advice would you give to someone that wants to go natural? So if you had a friend that is like, I like the way your hair looks, it's curly, it looks healthy, I'm thinking about going natural, I've been thinking about it for a while. What advice would you give someone? So like, no sugar coating.
So if I'm going from my experience, my advice would be, do what you want. Like, if you want to cut your hair, then you cut it all off. If you feel like you want to transition your hair, you transition it, and then create your own path. Like, just because I'm doing it this way don't mean you mm-hmm. have to do it. Like, you might skip over the pre-poo. I just added pre-pooing because I've realized how it works, but you might skip over certain steps. You might not need a cream. It might just bounce to the oil or whatever. It's mm-hmm. up to you. It's your path, you know, make it your own. That's what I would say. Like, don't follow. And if you're going to follow somebody on YouTube, follow somebody who at least looks like they have the same type of hair mm-hmm. as you. Like, that is one of the mistakes I made, not really realizing what type of hair is or what. I was following all the wrong people. Mm-hmm. Even though I still love their channels, I didn't know how to do a wash and go. It was, I just knew how to protective style my hair, but I really mm-hmm. wanted a wash and go. And it wasn't until like 2 years into my process that I actually started wearing wash and goes. And I think that's when you met me, is when I realized what gels to use and how to get my hair to stay. Cause I didn't want my hair frizzy. I wanted mm-hmm. definition and curls or whatever. And it took me a while until I found the right YouTuber with the same kind of hair using the products. And it was Camille Rose products. And I was mm-hmm. like, ooh, I got it. You know, so just create your own pattern. And do what works for you, but do it because you want to do it, and you know, it'll be fine. You'll be fine. Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are natural, and I think a lot of people really didn't think they had like a really good hair pattern or curl type, because they always felt like people with curly hair had to either be mixed or like called the good hair. So now that we're seeing people like get a routine, embrace their curls, love their curls, they're starting to realize like I have curls too. I'm not going to say good hair, but I have curls too. So I just feel
everyone
like
everyone has good hair.
Jermaine. Everyone has good hair. Everyone. So I just want to enforce that, like, whether you're natural, whether you're rocking a perm, everyone has good hair, and just love your hair. That's your crown. And just do what you want to do to your hair and do what's best for you, whether it's products, styling, protective style. Trim those ends, please. But that's I think that everyone should, like, basically figure out on their own. It might take a while, might take 7 years, 8 years. Yeah. Cause I'm still learning. Like, since we moved so much, I have to figure out what products will work for me in this state. Cause like I said, it's hot. I had straightened my hair last year. I was pregnant, and we went like an hour away to Colin's grandma's house. We sat outside for 5 minutes. I went there, my hair was bone straight. Sat outside for 5 minutes, my hair was afro. So yeah. I have learned that in the summertime, I need to protect my hair. My hair does not need to be out. It does not need to be seen. So I've learned that. So what is your top five essential hair products for natural hair?
Like, you want me to name the brands or?
Name the products.
Okay. So I would say a pre-poo first, and it has to be a moisturizing pre-poo, because what I've learned is that you could start your detangling process with a pre-poo if it's the right one. And that's what got me invested. Also, because I try to go a week, and during this pandemic, it might be longer than a week that I haven't washed my hair. It's kind of wasting product when you do that first, you know. Normally we wash our hair twice and then we condition it. So that first wash, you might not have no lather, no nothing. You just wasted product because you have all that buildup. So a pre-poo has really helped and become like a staple in my routine. Then after that, I follow up with a shampoo. Because I did a pre-poo first, I normally don't do a clarifying shampoo anymore. I'm trying to put back the moisture in my hair. So a moisturizing shampoo. And sometimes if it's a good amount of moisture, you can start. My purpose is to detangle hair. So you can detangle with a shampoo too. You can start that. So when you get down to your conditioner and you start raking your hair or combing your hair, which is my third staple product, either you're going to condition or deep condition, whatever one you choose to do, then it should be a little bit easier. And I think that's why sometimes I was getting tired of natural hair, getting tired of doing my hair, because just the process and the time it took, depending on how long between I washed my hair, how detangled it was. Then after that, I just, out of habit, a leave-in conditioner. I feel like then I'm going to always do some type of cream. And that's when it depends on the season, how heavy my cream or my butter is. After that, it just depends on how I'm styled and what I'm going to use after that. But those are my five base products that I'm going to always use every time.
Okay. Yeah. So like I said, I'm really trying to find products to help detangle. And you did give me like something, how you said with your pre-poo, that you can detangle with that. So I was going to text you and ask you about this product, but Curl's daughter, Wash Day Delight, I saw a YouTuber, her daughter and Callie's hair is kind of like the same texture. And she said she would put that in her daughter's hair first and kind of detangle and then go in with a wash. Have you tried that or have you heard about that yet?
I do have that upstairs and I do like it. Now, I don't think I would detangle with it. It's kind of, they were out of the conditioner. But I do like it for the price and how much you get for kids and for myself. I didn't think it stripped my hair or anything like that. So, yeah, but I don't think I would detangle with it. I think I would wait for, when I say detangle, I mean actually taking a comb, because that's where I can mess up at, where I'm pulling and I realizing I may be being a little bit too rough or whatever. I may be pulling my hair out. So when I'm talking about detangling my shampoo or my my pre-poo is, you can feel the moisture or you can feel your hair soften up, where you can take your hands while you're rubbing your scalp, you can be pulling your hair apart, separating those knots or those tangles or whatever. So that's what I like. But I didn't really feel like I could do that. I would do that with the Delight, because I don't want to rip my hair. So I guess it just depends on the hair type.
So I hope everyone has learned a thing or two about natural hair, whether you're natural, whether you are transitioning, whether you're thinking about doing the big chop. I know this funny this thing my mom used to always say when I'm like, I'm gonna cut my hair off, and it would be like the winter time, and she'd be like, girl, you know it's the winter time, you ain't gonna have no hair for your neck.
My mom's the same.
So it is summertime, so it's the perfect time to cut your hair because you don't need any hair to cover your neck.
Oh my gosh.
So go ahead and get them scissors, chop it off, go ahead and book that appointment unless it's about $1,000. But I hope everyone has enjoyed this episode on everything natural hair. And thank you once again, Siobhan, for accepting this invitation for me to interview you. I just knew it was going to be hard because you have the biggest personality, but you're the shyest person I ever met.
Thanks for having me.
thank you. And if you have any questions about hair care, you can follow us on Instagram at Melon and Mom Podcast and leave some questions for Siobhan or any tips that you might have for your hair. And thank you for listening. And now we come to the part that everyone loves. So go ahead and grab a glass of wine, grab a beer, if that's your style. Grab some snacks while we gossip and get into hot topics. All right, so into this hot topic, so I'm going to let you go first this evening because I have two things written down. And I feel like my second one is kind of like a serious thing, so I'm going to leave that for the last. So you can go ahead and go first.
Okay, I'm gonna start off with the light topic then.
Okay.
Let's talk about the South African queen who pushed out these 10 babies. Did you see this?
My whole everything is
Mama, 10 babies. It's a world. It appears that it's going to become a world record. I don't think that they've called it yet, but
at one time,
yes, absolutely.
Oh,
oh no, you have a sad face.
Oh, that poor thing.
You haven't seen the photo?
No, could I imagine? Who wants to?
I can't. I can barely imagine birthing one child.
Look, these babies get up to, well, I know when you have multiples, they don't normally grow to like 8 pounds. It's normally like 5 to 6, but 10 babies at one time. She had to be on bed rest. Her back. Oh, yeah. She cannot breastfeed. That's the one. Like, those boobs are.
Can you see this?
Oh my goodness. Is that naturally? And he just smiling. I punch him right in his throat.
Talk about her man. He looks so proud.
That's naturally she's having 10 babies?
I'm not sure, but I can find out. But yeah, I mean, what is the most that you think that you could?
One.
One at a time. You don't think he could do a twin situation?
I could. That's. God bless her and those babies, but they need to name that hospital after her, a street, a city.
South African woman has reportedly given birth to 10 babies in what would be a new world record.
Well, one thing is for her to be having 10 at one time, did the doctors, how closely did they monitor her? Because don't let her go full or however far she needs to go with 10 babies just to set a new world record, because I know when you have multiples it's you're always high risk. So 10 at one time, I know you're like double, triple.
So to answer your initial question, 5 via natural birth and 5 via cesarean section, so half and half.
You think I'm about to I want, look, when I got to that desk, give me the scissors, give me the knife, I'm cutting. You think I'm pushing 5 out? And then you want me to go?
They, go under the knife. So it was probably, I mean, obviously, So pushed out 5 naturally, which is already like a feat.
Yes.
And then lay down and have surgery and pull 5 more humans. Wow.
God bless her. Bless her. Congratulations to her. Let me, I'm not going to try to be negative, but I'm just thinking I'm just thinking it's about one. It's a lot. God bless her. And I hope they all came out healthy. And they name a hospital, they name a wing after her. That whole baby ward needs to be named after her. And I would definitely, as soon as they wheeled me out from that C-section, I'd be wheeling my husband in to get a vasectomy.
Yeah, you don't need anymore, truly. And I don't, this article doesn't say whether, or I may be overlooking it, whether or not she already has. Prior to this, but I will say, and this is from BBC.com, that according to her husband, they were astonished by the couplets, I believe that's what the babies at one time is named, because initially they only showed 8 in her womb. Just 8. Only 8.
I want to see I want to see the ultrasound.
Oh, yeah.
So the other 2 are probably hiding behind because that ultrasound is only so big.
Mm-hmm.
So, goodness. Mm-hmm. Like, what? I have so many questions. For it to be 10 at one time? Like, was he backed up? Like, does he have a condition?
Was he backed up, ma'am?
Like, could grieve. Everybody was trying to get out.
Maybe our last shot, guys. Like, they had a plan in place. That's great. A true queen.
And I'm just thinking about the diapers, formula. Like, they need to be sponsored by somebody. Like, they need a GoFundMe. Like, as soon as they got that ultrasound, they need to start a GoFundMe for diapers and formula.
Another update. I was incorrect. It does say she had previously given birth to twins who are now 6.
Okay. That's fine. I thought you were going to say like a higher number. I thought you were going to say like she had, because I know like they have like a lot of babies over there. So I thought you were going to say she had like 6 or already, but. That's a lot. And you want to know what's funny? Me and Colin were just talking about this like a while ago. Like back in the day, people were like popping out. Like my mom is 16 of them. So back in the day, that's normal. And then he said his side of the family is not his side. His great grandmother, it was 23 of them. But I think it was like 2 sets of twins.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandmother was pregnant 16 times.
Wow.
Like.
Yeah, because, and my mom is one of, I mean, not that many numbers, but, you know, just a generation before us was one of, there's 6 of them.
But just to redirect, I don't know why people look down on people that have so many kids now, but if you look at, like, grandmother, great grandmother, it was plenty of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was because it might be about other, like multiple, like a blended family type thing. I'm gonna try to make it as nicely as possible, a blended family type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's the case, but like, back in the day, it was like 6, people having 16 and 20 kids, and it was normal. Like, oh, you're back again. I knew you were coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but 10 at one time.
Yeah. Ooh.
Let me go. I don't know. I need to call somebody, make sure. I'm just lost for words. God bless her. But I would definitely like hit him in his neck. Like, That just means because it is a family on, I think they're on TLC, they always, like, every time they got pregnant, it was always multiples. So that means, like, if she was to get pregnant again, 9 out of 10, it would be multiples. I don't know, it would be 10.
Mm-hmm.
but it would probably be like twins or triplets or something like that. So yeah, she needs to get, he needs to get a vasectomy, because that's, no, that's too much.
It's a lot. So now we're talking 12 kids.
That's, yeah.
You know?
Well, the two six-year-olds can help, but you gotta call some family members over to help. That's 10 crying babies at one time.
Yes, when we say it takes a village, truly it's
you need the village. You need the village, the block, the city, the president.
Everybody.
And everybody. You need the streets.
Come on.
You walk past my house and hear a baby cry, you gotta come help. Don't go that way.
Wow.
All right, so to keep into the laughing moment, I almost wore this item. So apparently the internet is going into a frenzy, and I'm glad somebody kind of brought this to light. Bonnets.
Let's talk about it.
So it's been a little uproar about when and where you should wear a bonnet. Of course, we should never tell anybody what to wear. But of course, this day and age, people like to voice their opinion and kind of like make conversation about it. So apparently people are saying, like, women, like, you don't need to always wear a bonnet. If it's 1 in the afternoon, like, you should not be wearing a bonnet. Like, if you're going to Walmart or going to the movies. And then the number one thing was, if you're going to the airport and getting on a flight, there's no need for you to be wearing a bonnet. So what do you think about the bonnet catastrophe?
I have been convinced that we need to just let our people live. And I will tell you what it was that got me. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple, very small, and some might even say petty. But we don't say shit to dudes when they go outside in their do-rags.
Yeah.
Nobody says, that's not even a conversation.
Okay. So my question, I'm trying to think, have I seen any guys wearing do-rags lately?
I'm sure they're more prevalent depending on where you live, but dudes are definitely still out here running to the store in a do-rag.
But I'm thinking, like, do they wear them like after they get a fresh cut or something like that? But I remember, you remember back in the day when I used to wear the do-rag with the hats too? So
that was a thing.
Double duty. So have you ever gone maybe the airport, out to Walmart? That's where they're known to be at. Apparently that's where they gather at. Have you ever worn a bonnet out in public?
Not to my knowledge, because again, I did subscribe to the notion that you shouldn't do that, and did judge people who did wear them out, but again, I've been convinced, and that's what sort of swayed me, the do-rag thing. But also I think that there are a lot of things about it. I think that we think about bonnets as being like, culturally we think about it as something that we wear to bed. It's, you know, similar to like a pajama situation. You don't necessarily want to see somebody out in pajamas, and I still don't think that we should be out in pajamas. But I think because we think of it in that context, that sort of informs how we feel about it when we see someone out with it during the day. And I also think that we do look through it from a white lens, like from a white gaze, and we're judging people, we're putting a judgment on people who wear them out like that, and we probably shouldn't be. Like, I think you know, people are saying don't wear them out because you want to command or respect for yourself and that sort of idea. And what about me wearing a bonnet makes me less respectable as a person?
Yeah. So I kind of get what you said about the rolling out of bed type deal. Because that's when I wear a bonnet, when I'm in, like, I'm normally wearing a bonnet, like, when I go to sleep. So the question I asked you, have you ever worn a bonnet out? I will say that I have, but it's been in the drive-thru, I think. I don't know if I've gone that far. I might have, because I'm always trying to catch a 10:30 McDonald's. So, get what you get. Yeah. So I've never gone into the store like wearing a bonnet, because I'm just like I'll like throw a baseball cap and like put my hair in a bun type deal if I'm looking like not up to par. But I really don't care. It's the attitude that comes with the bonnet. I think that's where, like, if you got like a snippy attitude and you up here with a bonnet, flip flops, tank top, pajama pants on, like, sis. So I think it's the attitude that comes with the bonnet. And for the airport, I don't know. Like, if you have an early flight, I guess that's okay. But if you're like getting on a flight at like 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like, what are you trying to do? Like, did you just get your hair done? Just let it flow. If you're gonna fall asleep on the flight, maybe throw it on then, or get like a nice neck pillow to like lay your neck on. But that's my only thing about it. But for people to go on about it, I really, like, mind your business, drink your water. Did you drink your water today? Mind your business and let them wear their bonnet. And then the thing about the do-rag, I can think of Colin's friend who used to wear a do-rag and then would take it off when we got to a place. Mm-hmm. So that's also like, if I was to wear my bonnet, because when I wear my big curly hair, I always wear a bonnet and then like I'll just snatch it off and like fluff it up. So that's kind of like in the same sense. But I'm not walking into Walmart, and I'm definitely not. I have not seen a bonnet in Target. I don't want to speak too soon, but I have not seen a bonnet in Target. So Walmart is where they gather. I did see me and my friend, we were talking about this. She was like, the thing is, how do you put on like a full face of makeup and wear a bonnet? So that's also like, come on. So I have not seen a bonnet in Target, and watch, when I go to Target, I'll see a bonnet, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think that we need to move away from, I just want to see us move away from this notion about wearing a bonnet means that you command less respect. I think that that's extremely bothersome. And yeah, I mean, you know, if you scroll through the internet, Instagram, Black Twitter, you know, all of this commentary on it, points are made on both sides. But I think where I want to land is getting to a place where we get out of the idea that, you know, we're dressing to command respect from somewhere else. We should just have respect because of the fact that we're humans and living, and get away from, you know, judgment. I don't want to, you know, perform for other people or, you know, have to do or be a certain way to be deemed more worthy from other people. And really what it is from white people. Is what it is. I think a lot of the rage is like, you're embarrassing me in front of these white people. And that's what's really heartbreaking and frustrating. But I mean, if we was out here and, you know, I think someone had mentioned, like, if white people started wearing bonnets and made them fashionable, it would be a whole other, you know, discussion or a whole other viewpoint. But I think Black people live
as well. 20 was a hard year. I had to see what year. It was a hard year for everyone. So let these bonnets fly. Like, put that thing on your antenna if you have an antenna, and let it fly in the wind. And when you get out the car, throw it on your head and go into Walmart. Don't come to Target.
Keep it away from Target, but Walmart. There's a comedian who has a joke about she moved to an area where she thought that there would be a lot of Black people, but was there for a while and never saw them, and then went into a Target and saw like an older, like an auntie. The woman gave her auntie vibes, like another Black woman, and gave her auntie vibes. She was like, ran up to her and was like, auntie, where are we at? And she told her, but she kept naming, it was in California, so she was naming like hoods, I guess, like, I think I'm not from California, but I believe Inglewood or Crenshaw, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And she was like, "Oh no, 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 no." She was like, "I'm from the suburbs. I meant like, where are the brunching Negroes?"
Like, I don't need to go like, that far. Brunch.
But the auntie goes, "Brunch? What's brunch?" The comedian looks at her and goes, "We are in Target. That is a Walmart question." So good.
Oh gosh, that's funny. All right. Your next topic.
Well, I did have the bonnet on my list, but let's instead pivot to the new addition to the royal family, born in America. American royal baby.
So she's considered probably the first royal baby born in America.
Correct. Yes.
See, they knew what they were doing. They ain't dumb. They're not dumb. But go ahead.
No. So does that? So I assume baby has dual citizenship and a pathway to the crown.
Well, it's layers to that, but.
Okay.
But she probably does have dual citizenship.
I think I read that the name was some combination of Queen Elizabeth and Harry's mom, Diana.
Yes. Diana. Yes, which is very nice because I don't think, what's the other girl's name? I don't think she did anything with Diana. So,
what's what? Kate.
Yeah. I don't know why I wanted to say Kathy.
Princess Kathy.
But they say Meghan is kind of
Kathy, I'm sorry.
Like
Duchess Kathy.
I think they said Meghan is kind of like Diana, so I can see why she did that. And Harry was her favorite. But someone put I'm gonna just call her Lily.
I gotta be Lily.
Because they can't pronounce the first name.
Wait, whose first name?
The new baby.
Oh, okay.
What is it? Lilibet? What is it? See?
I didn't know. I thought you knew. Oh, Lilibet.
Oh, something never right.
Oh, okay.
So, what is it? Lilibet, Elizabeth, Diana?
What is this child's name? Is this right?
Let me look it up to the mixed royal.
So if I'm reading this correctly, it is Lilibet Diana.
Oh yeah,
Mountbatten Windsor, is that right?
Yeah. Where did we get these names from?
And I guess they are going to call her Lily.
So where did they get these names from? Where did that come from? What is Harry's last name? Harry, I was about to say Harry Styles.
Oh boy. Is it Windsor?
I don't think they've ever said Charles. What is Elizabeth's last name? What are these people? All we know is their first name. That's crazy that we don't know these people's
Wait,
last
is
name.
Is the full name Henry Charles Albert David? Why is this so hard?
So they're just making up last names now.
Oh, I didn't expect this conversation to go in this direction, but this is strange.
Here we are I'm on Wikipedia. What is his name? His name, what? Oh,
what?
Well, their oldest son, Archie, middle name is the same, minus Diana. I don't know how to pronounce that one. What is?
So I think that Mountbatten Windsor is the surname.
So on Wikipedia, I know some people say it's true, some people say it's not. So on here it says House is Windsor. So I guess that's what the last name has to be. Mm-hmm. But the name for, it says Prince Henry of Wales. But what is the last name?
I don't think they have one. I think that's the whole thing.
So he has four first names. Henry, Charles, Albert, David. What? Mm-hmm. So how I call my kids when they get in trouble is Colton Westfield Lanham. So if he is in trouble, Henry, Charles, Albert, David, I'm going to be looking around like, where are the four people?
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's funny. Like, they don't have last names. So they could have just made up a last name. That's funny. That's, yeah. So that just took us for a whole new loop. We learned something new today.
We sure did. I should have researched that a little more before I brought it up.
No, apparently we needed it.
Oh my goodness. But congratulations to them. That's,
yeah.
Additions to families are very exciting. I'm excited that it's mm-hmm. a girl.
Same.
Can't wait to see what she looks like.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next topic?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So our next topic is a little serious and more serious for you. Well, more serious for both of us, but we're going to talk about this girl, well, woman. Where is she from? She's from Texas. And she posted on TikTok that she found a Tile Bluetooth tracker in her purse after a night out. Have you heard about this story?
No.
What? So she went to a bar. And you know, normally when you go to a bar, you have to worry about your drink or worry about like somebody like just doing crazy stuff, like you drink too much. So apparently she was drinking and she had like her purse like unzipped and someone put a Tile tracker inside of her purse. And apparently she got back to her place. I don't know if she got back to her place or like a hotel or something, and she was cleaning out her purse and she found it. And she said she quickly removed the battery and then she made a video to warn other women about it. So that is very scary.
Yeah.
Because you can be tracked with that Tile and they could have like found her like in the middle of the night or something like that. So I'm glad she did that. And it just shows you like how crazy these men are.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you like things, like other things you need to do when you get back home. So like when I get home, I don't like go through my purse and like clean it out or anything.
No.
But what I do is when I find a purse, I try to make sure it's very, like you can't get into it. Mm-hmm. So the purse I have now, Colin just bought me, and it's like two locks you have to get to be able to get into it. And I always make sure it's locked. So there's really no way they could put like a Tile in it. But like I said, I really don't clean my purse like at the end of the day, because that's not something you think about.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are thinking, so here she is thinking like, okay, let me make sure like nobody puts anything in my drink. Meanwhile, they put something in her purse. So that's very scary. And why I say it's scary for you, because you're in a new place, even though you kind of know like your way around. And then like you go out a little bit more than me. And just like if you were to go out and that might slide into like your purse, your pocket maybe, and you go home and find it, like then you just have to karate chop somebody in the neck if they want to bust through some doors. But that's just a very scary situation. And I'm glad she found it, and I'm glad that nothing happened to her. And at that point, I'm glad she kind of put on the internet to make it aware for everyone else.
Yeah, for sure.
So
that's a scary situation. I mean, personally, I keep knives, like throw pillows, honey. So try it if you want to, but I'm from the country.
Yeah.
But I think you just have to be smart. And it sounds like she that she is a smart lady. But yeah, you just have to, there's always, the thing is that there's always going to be a new way. There's so many ways to find yourself in danger. There's always going to be some new way for someone to potentially hurt you. And you can't always stay ahead of it. The only thing you can do is just to be smart. And unfortunately, that probably means not drinking as much as you want to, not trusting everyone you come into contact with. That's why we're out here giving out fake numbers, fake names even. That's why you don't really want to go out by yourself even.
At night. Well,
yeah.
At night, yes, because I know we've spoken about like going out by yourself. But most when we say go out by yourself, mostly during the day. So you can be like very aware of your surroundings a lot more. But at night it's like a whole different sense. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's it. Just being smart. I wish we could be so trusting of people. But even like, you know, online dating. Again, we've talked about the Google Voice number. Can't be out here giving strangers your real number. You know, it's a big bad world. And
yeah,
you just gotta play it smart.
Yes. It's different. So for me, being out of the game for so long and like really haven't done like a girls' night in a while, I think for me, I would be very, what is it, hyper aware of my surroundings. One, because I did do a women's defense class, but it's so funny. I'm like, well, I remember everything that happens, everything that I learned, like if I became in that scenario. So I always try to remember throat, groin, shin. So like punch them in the throat, kick them in the nuts, and like slide your foot down their shin to just like get away from them. So just some way. And then like you said, traveling packs, like at night, always go with someone. We go to the bathroom, always go with someone. And like have your phone on me. So when I go out, I always try to make sure I have my iWatch on me and my phone, because like someone takes my phone, I still have my iWatch. So I can still like get in contact with someone. And I think always make sure you have a DD, of course. And if you don't have a DD, like make sure the PAX thing, and like catch an Uber, and then just make sure like it's the right person that's driving the car, and make sure like you're not like somebody getting dropped off here and then you're the last person in the car, because apparently these Uber people are crazy too. But yes, be safe, have fun, but be safe, and like look out for yourself, pack some pepper spray. You really can't do a knife because they're patting down and metal detectors now, but just be safe and be aware of your surroundings and these craziness, these crazy people out here. But if Michael B. Jordan wants to slip a tile, he can just have the purse.
Well, that's it for Hot Topics, you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Yes. Have a great week. Thank you for listening. And if you want to leave us questions, or maybe you just have some ideas on topics that we should talk about, please leave us a message at our email at melaninmompodcast@gmail.com, or send us a message on Instagram at melaninmompodcast.
Peace.
Eagle. Did they have school today?
This is their last day. It was a half day. Out, Carter. Now.
I want you to get out.
Now. You can go color. Go get the pencil. Here. Take it. Go. Don't bang on this door. Put this all on the video. Put it all on there.